Hi there, welcome to the Flight Risk Podcast Show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton. And today is March the 6th, 2024. And I appreciate very much your tuning in. I hope you'll find this show thought-provoking and that this one is pretty important, I think. And it's important to, bridge the gap between so many different people. You know, one of the things that you see on the internet a lot is you see people freaking out over things. They're protesting something, and usually they're protesting for a good reason, but they really don't know why they're there protesting. If they're asked a question that is a little bit, hard for them, you know, well, why do you think XYZ should be this way? Or did you know that this person is actually not that way, but this way? And then they just, oh. And it gets to a point where the people are asked questions and they can't even figure out why the hell they're there. They're just there because they're protesting. And they don't really know what the hell they're protesting for. You know? Or why someone of opposition might be there and protesting against them. And everybody wigs out, freaks out, and the standard answer usually is fuck off, or fuck you, I'm not talking to you, or you're a pig son of a bitch, or you're this, or you're that. It's never a discourse of real thought. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about, and hear me out before you start freaking out. If you do protest and you are someone that is passionate about these things, I respect your passion, but know what you're fighting for. And if you still are passionate about it, then God bless. I dig it. Because we should be critical of our government. We should be critical of social injustices. I agree. But understand them before you go spouting, you know. And I see both sides of the story here. But, you know, when you're asked, what does it mean from the river to the sea? 90% of the people that were asked couldn't even. Well, it just means from this border to that border. Well, the underlying message is not that, you know. And I think until we can go into, and here's today's subject, is critical thinking. Learning to understand both sides of the fence. I don't want Israeli men and women and children to be injured just as much as I don't want Palestinian women, families, and children to be brutalized or killed. Both sides of the fence. I don't want either one of you to die at all. And what's happening is that people are getting pushed to a point, and these atrocities are happening on both sides of the fence that are making it virtually impossible to come and have any sort of civil discourse. Because both sides in their own right are right. So things get pushed too far to the point where one side or the other has to feel like they're giving up something in order to come to the peace table. They don't feel quite yet vindicated. So, my thought in all of this and watching all these things and you know, especially on our news side of our business, you know, and you watch all this stuff and I'm sitting there going, damn, you're out protesting all this shit, but you really don't have an idea why you're there. You know, and I mean, it wasn't just one, it was a bunch. Nobody could give a reasonable articulable reason for being there. They just knew that this, for their own sense, was wrong. There has, you know, there's more to, you have to look at, there is a backstory to every story. There is a backstory to your life. There is a backstory that makes you who you are. So I'm going to respectfully say, if we're going to come to any sort of, if you want to stop climate change, for example, you know, I believe that things that we do to our environment are, in some instances, an atrocity. It's just, how in the hell, especially chemical companies. Here's what I don't understand. Why are all these major chemical companies next to huge bodies of water? Seems to me like you would want these places out in areas where it could cause a lot less ecological damage in case, God forbid, there was a major accident. So, there may be a scientific reason that I'm not aware of, and here is what I'm talking about. Before I go making this claim or standing on the shoulders of this claim, I need to go find out if there is a significant science reason that they are located, because I live on the Texas Gulf Coast, and there's some pretty nasty chemical plants around that are right on the dam or close enough to the water that it will make a big difference. They're in wetlands. They're in areas that, you know, you have to question, well, why would you put it here? You know, you just kind of, doesn't make any sense. So that's where critical thinking would take over for me, and I would need to do some research and plan to, because it does get to me, you know, why we would put a pretty nasty chemical plant that makes some pretty nasty stuff seriously right on a place where it could go out into the water, and it could make some, you know, it could kill a lot of stuff. So there's a good example, you know. And what I would ask that you would consider, whether you're considering abortion rights, whether you're considering the economy, whether you're considering global warming, you know, is to sit down, because I promise you, you can put as much pro as you can con. So where do you draw the limit? Don't sit there and say, because somebody has a different thought process than you, that you won't listen to what they have to say, because you might miss something. You might go, well, and I'm not saying you got to agree, but here's the thing. If you really truly knew the other side of that coin, and you really gave it some serious thought, could that not open up a round where you could find compromise? You could say, okay, I see your point. I don't completely agree with it. I do believe that, you know, into my body, my choice, for example. But I have a hard time, my body, my choice, when it comes to the ability in some states to have an abortion all the way up to the point of birth. I mean, that's, you know, I help me understand that. I'm not a woman. Don't pretend to be, you know, and it is a women's rights issue. But if, for example, you go out with someone and I'm a guy, you're a girl, you get pregnant, it happens, and you come to me without any thought or my say in it and tell me that you've had an abortion. Maybe that goes against every tenet of my life. Everything that I humanly stand for, that goes against. And what gives you the right to make that choice without me? You know, it's my body. Well, no, it is your body, but it takes two to tango. So there's someone else with some rights here too. Perhaps I would have said, okay, have the baby. If you don't want to be with me, great. Give me my son or daughter and I'll raise them. I'll even give you something that says you have no, you know, I'll take over 110% of parental rights. Is that a fair enough deal? Is that a reasonable deal? You don't got to do anything other than you got to carry the baby, you got to have it, and then when it's all said and done, you can walk away scot-free. But a life was saved. You may disagree with that completely, 110%. You may be screaming, this motherfucker, he's a man. What does he know? I'm just stating that unless we're able to have these conversations in a calm, cool way and apply some critical thinking to it, that there could be another way, there could be another vision in it, instead of fuck you is being the gospel answer, which is no answer to anything other than just being a strong expletive. It doesn't solve the problem. You running off, walking away, throwing your middle finger up saying, fuck you, get out of here, you're not welcome here. Why? We can have differing opinions. We don't have to agree. But what happened to we can agree to disagree, but we don't have to get so violent with each other, you know, that we burn neighborhoods down over it, that we burn clinics down over it, we burn churches down over it. People get hurt in heinous ways in the name of whatever it is you're protesting or whatever it is you believe in. We can sit down and have a conversation. Say, okay, let's figure it out. So, would it be, suffice to say, something good to develop critical thinking skills? To find the importance of we can coexist? 'Cause here's my thing. We're all on this earth together. What we've done in the last 100 years is we've, in a science sense, we've figured out a way to wipe each other off the planet completely. Our huge contribution to some of the greatest technology that's ever lived and some of the most groundbreaking technology that's ever lived is how to annihilate one another in the name of peace. I don't know. Peace to me seems like it could be got in another way. Seems to me that we're holding peace in the face of greed. Because if I have nothing to fear from you and you have nothing to fear from me, then we should be peaceful. There's no reason to fight. But when you add greed to the equation, you add money to the equation, oh, there you have it. There's the real underlying problem. I wrote an article and talked about a couple of times, you know, if you look at the Manhattan Project and you look at Oppenheimer and you look at all the brain power that was there. What if? Some of you are going to say, what a naive douchebag. But what if that brain power was sent to Los Alamos, New Mexico to figure out how we all live in peace, have competitive economies that, you know, and why do I have to, in so many instances, cheat to win, and why do I have to hold the threat of death over your life? Something tells me that if there is, and I believe that there is, life somewhere else, that there is extraterrestrial life, that there is life, you know, and somewhere in another planet, and it's being proven in many, many ways, that I would have to believe that on some of these planets that they have learned how to coexist together in meaningful ways. Because if they have the technology, if conspiracy theory has it right, the only reason we may have some of this advanced technology is because of extraterrestrial technology. We didn't think it up. So that supports my hypothesis, if you will, of putting that brain power that went into Los Alamos to eradicate the world. What if it was used to bring us all together in a peaceful, meaningful way? We learned how to overcome problems together. We put a world together where people lived in peace harmoniously, that people enjoyed life. Instead, greed has learned how to meter everything. Everything you do is just like going to the gas pump. It's metered in some way. If you're listening to this podcast, wherever you are, that's being metered in some way. I have to pay for the software. I have to pay for the equipment to do it. And you had to pay for the equipment to listen to it. Therefore, it was metered in some way. If there was some way to have electricity, free electricity, but it was stifled because it wasn't metered. J.P. Morgan famously told Nikola Tesla, if we can't meter it, it won't see the light of day. Think about that for a minute. If it can't be metered, it will never see the light of day. Because he has enough money and power and powerful friends to say, we're not going to do it that way. Because we're not making money off of it. So that's a whole other podcast at this point. So you have to look at everything from a critical thought process, in my mind. Drilling down to core tenets of what that is going to be paramount in what you can put together to formulate your own opinion and your own life. We're all going to have to work within a parameter of what's set out by people who could give two shits about us. If they did, guess what there would be? There would be these big doomsday bunkers that you and I could go to. Have you ever heard of a doomsday bunker that wasn't meant for the government? You think if you and I showed up at a government installation, NORAD, for example, that's buried deep beneath the earth, that's that could save people's lives, that if we said, hey, we're Americans, can we come in, that they would actually let us in? So I ask you, I heard someone say that. I wish that was my original thought, but it's not. I heard someone say, if you think your government cares about you so much, where is your doomsday bunker? Pisses me off. I mean, I'm glad we get to see it, but it pisses me off to sit there and see how that people, all these government guys, are going to live in the lap of luxury in the name of, well, America has to endure. Okay? My thought process is the human race has to endure. My thought process is you fucked up. Now we're going to die all over shit that should have never happened in the first place. So, if you don't think critical thinking in the sense that you should understand from where things come, where ideals come from, where the thought of, go back and look at the lady, and again, ladies, I would say, before you think that Planned Parenthood's a good thing, go look at the woman that started it. Yeah. Before you support all that. I'm not suggesting that there's not a place for female health. There is. But where is the balance between fuck you and both sides going, well, I can live with that. You know, there's always going to be an ugly side that is going to be something that you have to give in to. You know, there's always going to be something where you have to say, well, under this circumstance, I get it. So if you're going to be totally my way or the highway, better learn how to sell me that shit better than fuck you. I'm not going to listen. Because let me ask you something. Even if you're strong, completely convicted in your thought, is an ultimatum, if I came to you and said, you have to decide, you're going to have it this way or that way, decide right now. There is no in between. There's no nothing this way or that. Thanks, but make a choice right now. Nobody likes that. Nobody. Don't care what side of the fence you're on. I don't care if you're a feminist. I don't care if you're an activist. You don't like an ultimatum. And before you think the world's going to come to an end because of global warming, be open to look at other science that's done. Be open to consider, here's the thing. They're going to say that I heard something the other day that kind of, when you think about it, made total sense. They said, you know, Bill Gates said that cows, flatulence is the biggest threat to global warming. Well, ironically enough, he wants synthetic meat and owns the companies that produce synthetic and lab-produced food. So here's another thing, you know, with all these cotton farmers. I live in Texas. Cotton's a big deal in this state. Cotton farmers aren't allowed to use natural cotton seeds. They have to use genetically modified seeds from Monsanto, which I think now is Bayer. chemical. And they will lose their farm. They will get their ass sued. They will be gone after with great vengeance and anger if they grew a plant from a natural cotton seed. So here's the thing, a couple things. The scenario was, Bill Gates said that, you know, the biggest threat to that was basically cow farts. And so a guy said, here's what we're going to do. You stay overnight in a garage with a car running, and I'm going to stay in the same garage overnight with a cow. Maybe two, to be fair. I embellished that a little bit. And we'll talk about the results in the morning. I have slept in barns full of cows overnight. Full of cows, horses, chickens, who all were pooping, all were eating, and doing their normal stuff. And I'm here to tell the tale. My other thing is in looking at it, is what does grass and trees and all these other things feed off of? Oh yeah, CO2. So part of that photosynthesis process that plants and things go through involves CO2. You know how many, in my lifetime, how many the sky is falling things the government's tried to sell us that we're still here? The deal that, what's his name? Damn, I would have a brain fart, no pun intended. Anyway... there's just as much science for both sides of the fence. So you have to look at it from a optimistic view that, hang on just a second, maybe if everybody, instead of super gluing your hand to the ground, you know, my whole thought process is that gasoline and combustion engines and just about everything you do in your life has to do with petrochemicals. John Rockefeller made that part of your everyday life, because his company figured out, including the prescriptions that you take, and if you don't believe me, go back and look at what John Rockefeller did to natural healing and natural healing processes back just 150 years ago. Foods you could eat that were healing. Teas you could drink that were healing. Salves you could use that were healing. Vitamins you could take that were healing. To take these for the rest of your life, and hopefully nothing bad will happen. Put a Band-Aid on the Band-Aid. So, look at things from a little bit of open-mindedness and critical thinking. You know, have an open mind to say, let me see, you know, I don't really, what I hear I like from this side. And when you go in and you hear enough from another side, you may say, wait a minute. WTF here. You didn't tell me that on this side of the fence. You didn't tell me this. You didn't tell me that. You didn't tell me that there were, you know, things I could do naturally to help prevent cancer. There's things that you didn't tell me that there were things that could prevent heart disease or help me with erectile dysfunction or whatever the hell else, or keep me from having type 2 diabetes. Oh, you didn't tell me some of these things. You made them look out to be a quack. You made it look like that all these schools, and again we get back to, what is that word? Greed. All these universities who would have lost funding or been shut down because there was a guy there that had enough money to make it happen. So you have to see things his way. And he has just enough of a heart to destroy you, which means he has none. So, do you look at things from, oh, I'm going to go with this? So, my tree hugger friends, and I say that lovingly, if there were medicines and things that were out there that were, had been around for centuries, and some rich dude came in and said, no, that's bullshit, they're quacks, it's fucked up, you know, I'm not saying there's, you know, but think about it. Is there really anything out there that cures completely? Here's the thing. Think about it. You caught the flu this flu season. Just the flu, okay? You were given medicine and it went away. But only for a time. Next flu season, guess what you got? The same exact fucking flu. Yes, I suppose there are different strains of the flu, but who's selling you that? Who's telling you that there are different strains of flu? Do you know that for 110% proof positive that there are different strains of flu? Or is that the propaganda that's being pumped out to you? Hello, conspiracy theory. So that you'll buy the stuff that it fixes you now, but you're still going to get it. The common cold. My common cold. You're going to tell me there's no cure for the common cold? Yeah. So, does critical thinking, when you go into these things and you start learning about different things, help you make a more informed decision? Help you state your position? Maybe you swing me from believing one way about anything. Climate change, abortion, Christianity, whatever. Maybe you're so compelling that because you have all the answers and you and I can throw up things at you and say, okay, well, what about this? And your response to me isn't, fuck you. You throw your drink in my face. You kick me off your school campus. Instead of sitting down with someone and saying, okay, I 110% disagree with the shit that comes out of your mouth. I don't believe a damn thing that you say to be true. Now, we have to live on this earth together. So if I'm going to sell myself in a way that makes my process compelling enough that you say, that you have people go, well, shit, I'm going to come with you. That's fine. But make it from a point of education, knowledge. Don't make it from a point of fuck you because that's what everybody else said. My teacher said that. Don't even get me started about teachers right now. There are good ones out there, but they ain't many anymore. Sadly. Because when I send my children to school, I want my children to learn how to read, write, critical thinking. I don't want them to be indoctrinated into an idea. It's not what I sent them to school for. I sent them to school to learn. I don't have a problem if you're gay. I have gay friends. And I told my children growing up, you know, there are people out there with different ideals and different preferences than us. A good person's a good person. A piece of shit is a piece of shit. A good person can be any religion, any faith, any gender. It can be anything they want to be if they're a good person. A piece of shit can be the same thing. A piece of shit can be a white dude, a black dude, an Asian dude, a Mexican dude, or female. It can be a gay person. It can be a lesbian. A shitbag is a shitbag. Doesn't matter what you label it. So you can't tell me that white middle-aged men are the problem. You know, and you hear that shit all the time. Because somebody's trying to divide you from another objective look, another race. You know, that if you really get down to government subsidies, they're given just enough to keep them hooked on the government teat. But if they go beyond, and doesn't matter, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, doesn't matter who, what, when, where. What matters is that the system is rigged against you. Doesn't matter who the hell you are. If you go into that system, it is rigged against you. You think you can go take your last $1,000 and you say, you know what, I'm going to go to Vegas because they're going to let me win $10,000, $100,000. No, the system is rigged against you. You might be that one in 1,000 person that, you know, took their last. I remember when my ex and I got married and we went on our honeymoon, we went to a casino and we were down to like our last little bit of money. We were struggling during that time, and she hit a $4,000 jackpot. But we didn't go. Mostly we went because we could go to the casino and stay in the hotel for virtually nothing and have a lot to do. There was a lot of amenities beyond the casino that made the hotel really nice. We got a really beautiful room. We had beautiful restaurants to choose from, an unbelievable swimming pool, and it was really nice. And we got lucky, but we got lucky once. So the system is not exactly rigged in your favor or mine. So do we let them divide us? They come with this, you know, is there things that you could say, wait a minute, that dude's not that bad a guy. He's a middle-aged white guy. I kind of actually like this guy. He's funny. He's lived a little while, so he has some good insight into living okay. He actually doesn't hate minorities. He doesn't hate gay people. He doesn't hate young people. You forget, we were young people once too. I grew up during the hippie movement. You know, we all had long hair and listened to rock and roll. And rock and roll was going to ruin the world. You know, the generation before me, that the rock and roll music was, and long hair was the end of time. Wasn't going to work. So we all have our generational thing. But don't separate us just because we're separated by a generation we grew up in doesn't mean that we can't be supportive of each other, because we can. If you believe in things, you know, that we're trying to take certain rights and things away from you, no, the government does that, not me. So, you know, you want to think about what the hell. So critical thinking is something where you take a look at both sides of an argument openly and optimistically for both. What can I take from both? What can I take the good out of? And don't listen to, because if I did, I would, there's certain groups, there's certain things, there's certain ideas that I would totally detest and hate. I see the point in some things. I don't think hurting another person under any circumstance is justified, unless that person's trying to hurt you. It's like you see these people hitting these people, you know, that kid playing a cello on the subway in New York, and some chick comes and just cracks him over the head with a fucking Stanley cup, a metal cup. What the fuck? Why? Dude's sitting there playing music, trying to earn a couple of quarters, and somebody that out of the blue just cracks this dude over the head. Or you see young people in the schools, these kids who attack each other. No. Hell no. That's not right under any circumstance. But if you don't go in and look at the different views, you know, I can't understand your shoes if I'm not to the whatever availability is of walking in them, to so to speak. I can never be a woman, as much as I can say I identify as a chick, great, but I can't have a period. I can't produce a baby. Yes, there are the gender thing. I understand that in some sense. That's what you want to do. God bless you. Go. But I need to be able to understand your thought process in that. And screaming and yelling and telling me I'm a bigoted, racist, fascist son of a bitch gets us nowhere. Help me understand. And if you don't understand, then tell me at least and say, look, I don't understand. This is just the way I feel. Okay. Cool. So where do we go from here? There's a lot to think about in what we're talking about here. And what does this have to do with my podcast show? And you know, I try to talk about things that are uplifting, and the reason that I want this to be uplifting, and the reason that I want to say, okay, we talked a lot about, you know, there's a lot of shit that can be argued here. I don't want to argue with you. My critical thinking process wants to understand your position. And what I'm suggesting to you is if we both do that, then maybe we learn something from each other, and maybe it helps us to coexist in a meaningful way. It's just like, I bet you if I went to, and I've said this previously before, and I stand by it today. If you went to two countries that were about to go to war, doesn't matter what the religious faith is, doesn't matter their ideologies, none of that shit matters. But you went to this one country, and you grabbed a mother who had children that were of military age, in the military, and serving currently. You went to the other side, and you grabbed a mother who had the same thing, had a child or children in the military, and you brought these two mothers together. And you said, here's the query, and here's the what you got to come up with. How do we live together in peace? Otherwise, your child and your child are going to die. They're dead. It's over. No grandchildren, no sisters-in-laws, no mother-in-laws, no nothing. The child is gone. Wiped from the face of the earth. Both sides. You think two mothers were given that ultimatum, couldn't find a solution to live in peace, even if it was two giant bulldozers faced together, pushing on one another? Each one has very good incentive to kill the other, in a sense. But if you had to live peaceably, and here's the real rub, it's not a question of my ideology wanting to kill you and your ideology wanting to kill me. What do people inherently everywhere want? Well, we want to be happy. We want our families to live in peace. We want good health. We want to celebrate with our friends and loved ones. And we want to live in our area in peace. We want to live in our own little, in our part of the world. You can't tell me that coffee shops around the world aren't full of people who could give two shits about what's going on in your country. All they really care about is their own stuff. Until we come in or they come in and stick their snout into shit that, because they want this or they want that. But truly, I think that most people around the world, I don't think they want to be at war. You think that farmers around the world who are currently protesting want to be, that they woke up one day and go, you know, I want to be a farmer so one day the government can fuck me so hard that I can get in my tractor and have to travel all over the country and say, no, enough's enough, damn it. Enough's enough. Or you that are listening. Did you wake up when you were born and go, gee, I hope I can, you know, become a ecological protester so I can super glue my hand to the ground? Or do you want to live in peace? Instead of super gluing your hand to the ground, why don't you come up with a way that, you know, that the fossil fuels that we've come to depend on in our lifetime, maybe there's a way to extract those oil and gas in a more ecologically friendly way. Because cars, here's the thing, and I spent a long time in the automotive industry, and one of the biggest things was, especially in a couple of years where where the ozone was the big thing. The ozone layer is going to collapse, and we're all going to, you know, barbecue from the sun. And that was going to happen, I don't know, a decade ago. And we're still here. But what was being taught was, and what was being shown and proven, is that exhaust fumes were safer, and almost to the point where the condensation coming through the exhaust pipe, or you could get down and you could put your face in front of it, which was still ill-advised. But the micron level was so minute that the chances of you polluting the world beyond anything were pretty much slim. So we can put money into weapons of mass destruction, but we can't put money into extracting fossil fuels more efficiently so that you, Mr. Climate Activist, can say, wow, we did that. Look what we did. Instead of giving that industry that I live in Texas, so I can't tell you how many hundreds of thousands of families would be critically done in by that. Is there a way to burn coal in a more eco-friendly way? You wouldn't know unless you went and tried to figure out a way to do it. Critical thinking. So it gets down to another thing that I've written about and talked about, is playing the cards that you're dealt. Okay. Well, we got a shitty hand at the moment if you're looking at it from an eco standpoint. It's an uber shitty point. But how do we get our way through it so we can draw into a better hand? It's there. We just got to go find it. And we got to take money from learning how to kill each other in a more meaningful and powerful way and use it for, hey, let's fix that. I don't know, there's a lot of things that could be fixed with science that wasn't intended to, you know. I still haven't figured out, if I'm a scientist, how I could sit there and go, wow, I just made a missile that could fly up your ass from 5 miles away with very little guidance and turn you into mist. What celebrates that? How is that even a thing? But it is. Instead of saying, you know what I figured out? I figured out how we can use fossil fuels, not harm the planet, not harm the environment, and we can use it in ways that we never even dreamt we could. Think of the millions of people who are happy because someone figured that out. I don't know. That's, we could go on and on and on. So think about it. If you want to learn more about the show, please follow our link in our description. It will take you to our link tree and you can see all about it. You can go to my book shop in Amazon and you can please take a look at all my books, and if you see one you like, please support us in that way if you can. So this is the Flight Risk Podcast Show. I'm Robert Bruton. Bye for now.